Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I was 1 for 2 shooting at the waste paper basket, and barely. I was almost 2 for 2. And I just threw one into the left field bleacher.
He almost hit Victoria, our camera.
That was a horrible shot. I don't know even what happened.
You're literally right. I don't understand.
No, I'm in your seat.
Key, that's what I'm saying, though. But Key,
he almost hit
Victoria. Like, it went over the TV monitor.
Yeah, it was, like, weird. Like, that one got away from me.
Got away from me.
Yeah. If it's a left-handed batter, put it this way. We're fighting now. He's charging them out. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. The playing games were last night.
Yep. That's right.
Then there's the playoffs, which started last night. Oh, sorry, start this weekend.
No, you said it correct the first time.
Including the Bulls and the Bucks on Sunday. Oof. And you know something, guys?
Tough one for my Bulls, man.
I've been thinking a lot about the Bulls. Because I, like, the way when the Suns got put together, when they got Chris Paul, and you start looking, oh, they got Cam, and they got Mikal Bridges, and they got Jay Crowder, and they have all these perfect complement, and DeAndre Ayton, and Chris Paul's going to have this great effect on Ayton. It just, like, looked good the way the puzzle fit together. And I felt similar way about the Bulls. Maybe it's not pitched as high, but ooh, and I know Lonzo's hurt right now, but Lonzo, and you got your dude who can finish but can also bomb from three, and you got your mid-range guy, and you got your defensive but also with offensive upside power forward who could develop. But there's something about this team, guys, Jay, that feels to me like a little – like they got too many nice guys on the team. They need a jerk. They need that certain kind of temperament. And I was thinking, if Jimmy Butler is really not long for Miami,
no.
You don't think a package centered around, say, Vucevic, who, Jay, how's Vucevic on defense?
He's not good, but Jimmy Butler would not be the answer, though, I think, to Chicago.
Why?
Because Chicago needs a rim protector. Let me tell you what's going to happen in the series against the Bucks.
Okay.
Brooke Lopez and Giannis and Drew Holiday are going to have a field day. Vucevic is on an island by himself, and every pick and roll, he gets annihilated. And people are talking about, oh, he could be the key. I'm like, okay. Like, the Bulls are going to be in a situation where you're looking to get rid of Vooch. Right? His contract coming up, you're like, hey, is that – I posed this the other day. I don't know what's going on in L.A. It feels like L.A. wants to keep Anthony Davis because of LeBron James. Mm-hmm. But I start thinking about what would AD look like if he came back home to Chicago? Could that Vooch and maybe one other pick, could that go along for a guy like Anthony Davis? Because I think Anthony Davis opens up your floor so differently. Now, I know he's injury prone. That's something that, you know, Chicago Bulls front office needs to think about. But I see him on this team, and depending upon what they can get in L.A. for him, I'm not saying L.A. would do this, but for Chicago – if you can have a guy like AD along with a DeMar DeRozan, along with a Zach LaVine, if you give him a max contract, along with a guy like Lonzo Ball, that defensively your perimeter is set.
But you still need the personality type.
I know you're not doing it. I'm saying for the Bulls, I'm looking at more of something like that, Key, than bringing on another defensive-oriented guard like Jimmy Butler that I don't see. I already have Lonzo Ball.
But I don't need
Jimmy Butler.
But what Max is saying, though, is Jimmy Butler brings that grit that they're kind of missing. It's not the guard play. It's that I don't know what you want to call it.
Grit, tough, you said it.
Yeah, that tough mentality, that you know, don't mess with me type mentality. In other words, he's saying the Chicago Bulls play nice right now.
Yeah, they got too many nice guys. Like Zach LaVine's a nice guy. DeMar DeRozan, a nice guy. Everywhere you look, you got a nice guy. Where's the? I need one gritty jerk on the team, right? Like, when I think of a team like that, I don't think AD. I don't. AD is not the guy. I think, oh, that's the missing ingredient.
No. You need a Draymond mentality.
Uh huh.
That's what you're looking for. You're looking for a Draymond Green mentality. As far as AD goes, though, to Chicago. I would only do that if you bringing me back DeMar DeRozan or something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's because we need that. We would do that, I think, if that was the case. But if AD wanted to go to Chicago, he could have signed with them in free agency. I mean, he could have signed with them got traded to them a couple years ago instead of the Lakers, if that's what he really wanted to do.
By the way, if I still would say, like, DeMar DeRozan for AD, DeRozan and something draft capital for AD, the Bulls should consider that if, but this is my point about Vucevic. Yes. They got to get better at the five, right? Vucevic offensively does a lot of things that the non-elite bigs, he's at the top of the non-elite list, but if he can't play defense and you got to tighten up, if you could, even if it's a three-way trade, get rid of Vucevic and bring in Jimmy Butler, return to Chicago, then, DeRozan for AD, Kobe
White.
For sure.
I'll give you Vucevic, Kobe White, and a draft pick.
Vucevic?
For Jimmy Butler?
No, not for Jimmy. I'm not bringing Jimmy Butler. Guys, I have Lonzo Ball. That cost me considerably less than Jimmy Butler. And I'm sorry, Lonzo, stop sleeping on Lonzo Ball.
I'm not.
You guys are acting like Jimmy Butler is a game changer for Chicago.
For Chicago, he is, I'm saying. Not for anyone, but for Chicago, he'd be a game changer.
We bring in a different mentality into the locker room is what we're saying. We bring in that you know, whatever that is, Jay, you know, that
but guys,
that stuff.
Jimmy Butler has blown up a lot of locker rooms. I'm not doing that to my culture.
That's
I'm
now
not
you're
doing
talking.
That to my culture again.
Jay, now you're talking. Now you're talking.
Like,
that's,
you know,
the whole
especially
question.
Like with guys like Zach LaVine, he's going to get big payday. DeMar DeRozan was in the MVP conversation this year. Like, I'm not just giving him up
so who?
Easily.
So who?
Wait, I'm not trying to tell you. Like, I'm going after a guy like Anthony Davis.
But what I'm asking you is, do you agree, yes or no, with the assessment that they need that, what Key called that Draymond Green type mentality with someone? They, and if so, who would that be?
They need a low post rim protector.
You think it's just a technical thing?
I'm telling you, with Lonzo Ball, Patrick Williams, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, I like the core makeup of this team. You guys
Patrick
keep
Williams
overlooking,
is a good one, yeah.
You overlook what Lonzo Ball brings to the table defensively.
Let me
can I finish my point? All I'm saying to you guys, he brings that toughness that you guys are talking about. You're saying you need another. I'm trying to tell you, I already have that.
No,
in Lonzo Ball.
I see what the issue is.
I already
You're conflating. I'm not talking just about defense. Defense might be part of it. And Lonzo, 100%, love Lonzo. Love him. He's the reason I want to talk about the Bulls. To tell you the truth, I think if he's healthy, this whole team is different, right? But I'm talking about a certain mentality that Jimmy Butler has in a way that Lonzo doesn't to me. And no knock against Lonzo at all. Yeah.
So if I drop Draymond Green in the Chicago, would you be happy?
Oh, I love Draymond Green. Now that's a piece I'm talking about. Yeah. But
that's
Key,
what
now,
we saying.
No, Key. You're talking. I hear what you're saying. But like my thing is, I'm just telling you from the guard position, I don't need that. If you're telling me from a big position, a versatile big, yes. Now we could talk about
who is that?
But you said a versatile. You said a versatile big, and you said a rim protector. I mean, he's not necessarily a rim protector, but he is a versatile big.
Who's he? You mean Dre?
Draymond, yeah. Dre.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you could put Dre on. Listen, Patrick Williams, if he doesn't get hurt and has the whole year to develop, you start to look at piece by piece. They got that perfect one who doesn't need, you know, he can do things with the ball. He can score if you need him to. Defense on the perimeter, grab, rebound. I love Lonzo's game. And as I mentioned, LaVine and DeRozan are guys who aren't really redundant, who do what you need them to do 100% at a very high level. If Patrick Williams is healthy, great. Vucevic is the problem, right? So Jay, I agree with you. If you could make Vucevic the kind of guy we're talking about, fine. But in the absence of that, are you looking at a technical fix? Like, oh, AD does X, Y, and Z. Or a mentality fix? Jimmy Butler will give you the mentality.
I'll give you one.
Thing.
Like, I go get Rudy. If I can get Rudy Gobert, I go get Rudy Gobert. I like Rudy Gobert in Chicago.
Donovan Mitchell won't even give him.
That's my exact point. I'm not sure that franchise wants to commit to Rudy Gobert because of the Donovan Mitchell relationship. I don't know what's going to happen with Quinn Snyder. Will he go coach the Lakers? Will he not? Like, it feels like that trio's time may be running out. If I can get a Rudy Gobert, if I can't get an AD, I hear you on the AD part because he's injury prone. But a guy like Rudy Gobert, the center is my number one priority.
I hear what you're saying from a put a team together and how would it all function.
That's your defensive
mentality
that you want.
It's not just, I don't just mean defensive mentality. I mean what Key said, grit. Like, to me, Donovan Mitchell has the mentality I'm looking for, even though it's not a technical fit.
I think you guys are overlooked. I watch a lot of Bulls game, man. DeMar DeRozan has a killer mentality. I'm trying to tell you, the center position, Rudy Gobert brings that defensive mentality, backbone of your defense.
What could you get Gobert for, you think?
But look, and also, Jay, you keep saying AD, right? You know AD ain't going to want to play the five. Now what?
Yeah. I feel you.
I think we've moved on from AD. You're right.
He ain't going to want to play the five. So, you know.
But what about Gobert? Could a package with Vucevic and White and a draft pick get you
Vucevic,
Gobert?
Vucevic, Cody. Yeah, I think potentially it could, depending upon. Look.
Kobe White.
Yeah, Kobe White.
Kobe, yeah.
Yeah, there's still.
Cody White.
Who said Cody White?
I thought you did. But
no, I said Kobe White.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. Look, we can talk about that on the back end. I'm just I think with Kobe White, Vucevic, and a pick, I think you're looking at a Rudy Gobert.
Okay, Jay, sold.
That's what I said.
Sold. You tell me I got to give you White.
I think you may have to give him a little bit more. I'm not sure. But.
No, I'm holding you to your deal. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Huge contract extension in the NFL left us wondering who has the best chance to be the Matthew Stafford of 2022 and win their first Super Bowl. Key tells you next on ESPN Radio and SiriusXM Channel 80.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Derek Carr got a 3-year, $121 million extension. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. That got us to thinking, what quarterbacks like Matthew Stafford last year could win their first Super Bowl in 2022? It's Key's Real Rankings. Take it away, Key.
Number 7.
So I'm going to sit at number 7. I'm going to go Matty Ice, moving over from Atlanta to the Indianapolis Colts. Could potentially take the Indianapolis Colts to the Super Bowl, and he sits at number 7.
Number 6.
Number 6, a guy that appeared in the Super Bowl last year in Joe Burrow. Yes, I know. They went to the Super Bowl. Why would he be at number 6? He should be higher. I get all of that. But for some reason, I feel Super Bowl slump coming.
Number 5.
Number 5, Derek Carr, you mentioned he maxed $121 million. We don't know what the guaranteed portion of that money is, but when you look at this football team being put together, Devontae Adams, Waller, Hunter Renfro, Jacobs in the backfield, they need to shore up that secondary, and it's certainly not Derek Carr's fault that they hadn't been in the playoffs more.
Number 4.
Justin Herbert, yo boy. Go, Max, get him. That's Justin Herbert. Look. He's a great, talented young man with a lot of upside. They got a phenomenal team. He got the big trees on the outside. This all comes down to Brandon Staley, the head coach. Is he going to cost him 3 or 4 games? We'll see.
Number 3.
Another guy under a lot of pressure because of big money in Dak Prescott. We know he can play football. No more Amari Cooper, but they certainly have a football team on the offensive side of the ball that can put up a lot of points. The defense got better. It's all on Dak Prescott to take the next step now.
Number 2.
This one's a little head-scratcher for me, even though I like it. I got Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. He could potentially do some magic because that team is loaded. They got to put it all together. Offensively, they got some skills. Defensively, we know what they have. It all's going to come down to how many games Deshaun Watson actually misses.
Number 1.
And then number 1 is Josh Allen. How could you forget about a guy who had the Kansas City Chiefs on the rope? All he's done is making amazing comebacks, doing the magical things. Brian Daboll isn't there at the offensive play calling, but that still says to me that if he has, out of all these quarterbacks, he has a chance to win his first Super Bowl as the number one guy.
So when you say Deshaun Watson is a head scratcher, it's your list. Do you mean that, like, you just don't have enough information because you don't know about suspension and stuff? Or you mean that you couldn't understand why you had him ranked there?
No, I couldn't understand. I mean that it's a head-scratcher because I don't know. It was tough to even put him at that high, but then I said to myself, I talked myself into it because I said, if Jacoby Brissett, I started giving myself numbers. I said, if Jacoby Brissett can just hold it down for a few games, I think Deshaun and the rest of the team has enough when he comes back to make a strong push in the AFC. That's the only head-scratcher.
So Derek Carr at 5, you're a big Derek Carr guy. And
are the Raiders. They just gave him $121 million.
I guess, although Diana Russini said it's really a 1-year extension. They're not that high on him.
I don't know what he tells. Why did he matter?
But anyway, you are very high on him. He had a terrific season, on and off the field, showed leadership, was excellent. And he has weapons. He got Devontae. He got a dude from college who's maybe the best in the game.
Max, he threw for almost 5,000 yards.
So why is he so low on your list?
Well, it's the team, though, right? We don't know what the secondary is going to look like. Their secondary is atrocious. You probably would be their best corner if you played, Max. I mean, they're not very good in the secondary. They went out and got Chandler Jones to shore up some pass rush. Getting pass rush helps the secondary. The secondary doesn't have to hold up as long as they have in the past. But on the offensive side of the ball, they got weapons. Hunter Renfro's getting ready to become the next Julian Edelman, Wes Welker in that offense for Josh McDaniels. We know what they got in the backfield with Jacobs, the tight end, Waller, I mentioned, Brandon Edwards at the receiver position along with Devontae Adams. So they got some stuff. Now, the one thing that scares me about the Raiders is the right side of the offensive line, in particular the right tackle, Leatherwood. You remember that name from Alabama, who was supposed to be in the third round, but all of a sudden he became a first rounder? He struggled a lot last year, and so that's going to be something that they got to get fixed.
Key, I was curious why Dak Prescott so high, considering them losing Connor Williams, Amari Cooper, Cedric Wilson, Randy Gregory. It feels like the Cowboys have lost a lot of pieces. Why is he so high?
Well, they lost Amari Cooper, but the offensive side of the ball still has skill with CeeDee Lamb and company. I think when you look at Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield, the offensive line we don't know a whole lot about, but Dak Prescott is a hell of a quarterback. And if any of these guys on this list has an opportunity to win the Super Bowl, much like a Matthew Stafford did a year ago, Dak Prescott certainly deserves to be at the number 3 spot.
What about – here's one that's not on your list that occurs to me, Key. Jimmy G and Trey Lance, so I guess it's 2. The reason I say it is because Jimmy G came a throw away from winning a Super Bowl. He got past Aaron Rodgers and was in the NFC Championship game last year. And if it's Trey Lance instead of Jimmy G, and it's not an injury, which it could be, that's because Trey Lance is better than Jimmy G, outplayed him, giving you an even better chance to win a Super Bowl. What about those two guys?
Well, Jimmy G, one, we don't know when he's coming back, what his injury situation is in his healing process, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly they don't feel strongly enough about Trey Lance that they still are holding on to Jimmy G and just didn't take whatever somebody would give them to get rid of Jimmy G to move on from Trey Lance. So that in itself puts you in a conflicting situation when you talk about the 49ers and their quarterbacks.
But it's kind of almost like Deshaun Watson. Like, we don't know when Deshaun Watson is going to be allowed to play. So it feels like there's that open speculation. I just feel like Jimmy G should be in that conversation.
I agree. But I think, Key, your point is that Deshaun Watson, just the talent of Deshaun alone. Like, what you're really saying about Trey Lance is you don't know what you really have there. You'd be more confident had they moved Jimmy G. I think they made a strong move by keeping Jimmy G because they have depth at the most important position with Jimmy G, who we know can come a throw away from a Super Bowl, and Trey Lance, who might be better than him. Like, I like what they did.
It doesn't mean that Jimmy G won't get moved, right? The draft is 2 weeks away.
Yeah,
he could
true
get
too.
Moved on draft day. We don't know, but as it stands today.
Seattle maybe or something like that. No, they wouldn't get him to Seattle.
Who knows? The league is so weird. But as it stands today, Max, Jimmy G is on the roster.
Yep.
And teams acquired about Jimmy G, but they didn't take what teams wanted to give them. So that tells me that they don't feel all that confident in Trey Lance. So if they don't feel all that confident in Trey Lance today, then what are we having this conversation for? Jimmy G's the starter, but then Jimmy G's coming off shoulder surgery.
What about Lamar Jackson, Key? He had at least 3 weeks last season. I thought there were 3 weeks where he was the best player on earth. They were getting it done without a whole team. You never seen a team this banged up, right? And now they're coming back healthier. And why is Lamar Jackson not in your top seven?
We assume they're going to come back healthier, but I hadn't seen them really do anything in the offseason that made me. I mean, yeah, they signed Calais Campbell back, but that's on the defensive side, a run stuffer for the Baltimore Ravens. But on the offensive side of the ball, what have they done to help this young man out? I mean, Hollywood Brown is there. Bateman a year ago, drafted out of Minnesota, didn't do a whole lot in his rookie season, in and out of the lineup. I mean, they got an aging Sammy Watkins, but they didn't do anything to make me believe that they're putting themselves in the best chance and opportunity to go and win the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean that they won't draft 40 receivers
right.
2 weeks from now. Doesn't mean that. It just means today they haven't done enough to warrant Lamar to be on this list. And Lamar is a phenomenal talent, should be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in NFL history soon. But it's not enough. Lamar Jackson is not enough to go win the Super Bowl by himself.
You know, do we really know that the Cowboys, for example, are that much more talented than the Ravens? Like, I don't know. Like, the Ravens compete every year. They're you know, week in, week – Harbaugh's one of those coaches, week in, week out, year in, year out. They're right there. And Dak is more traditional, but Key, Lamar has hit some heights.
And like we always throw in Ezekiel Elliott, but, like, he's been injury-prone over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, are we expecting that to all of a sudden just change now with this Cowboy team?
No, Zeke played well last year. Zeke didn't play all that bad. They had about a three-game stretch where they didn't run the ball extremely well, but for the most part, Zeke played pretty good along with Tony Pollard in the running game. I think when you say Lamar, Max, had phenomenal games,
and
there's no question about it, but he does not have a CeeDee Lamb. Right, he doesn't have an Amari Cooper.
It's weird that they don't go out and get him a lead receiver.
I don't know. We've been screaming this we've been talking about this since Lamar got there. Right? It's like, what are y'all doing?
But I
don't know, man. I don't know why they just won't do it. Who knows?
They got a speed guy, but they don't have that all world dude. And this is a deep receiver. Well, listen. To be fair, Key just said that. Let's see what happens after the draft. As we stand today, I think that's a fair assessment. Front office mind weighs in on Key's list and the best landing spot for Baker Mayfield. We are joined now by, you know him from many places, including ESPN Monday Night Football. It is Louis Riddick, ladies and gentlemen. Lou.
Big Lou.
What's up?
Oh, so much stuff is up. We need to hear from you. Key said,
I see.
He said that Josh Allen is the most likely to win his first Super Bowl in 2022. Do you agree with that of the guys who have not yet won?
Yeah, I've been checking out his list, man. Look, I can't disagree with it because of the fact that, look, he's so entrenched in that system now. I think he knows exactly what works for him. His players all around him know exactly what works for them. Sean McDermott knows exactly what works for them. The defense is going to play championship caliber football every year. They're going to be right there in it. And Josh just continues to take his game to a higher level. So I'm not going to argue with number one. I mean, once we get down here from 2 through 7, I mean, obviously there's some debate. You know, I think Joe Burrow's too low. I think Joe, especially considering what they did in Cincinnati to the right, from center to right tackle, they have three new people, three new starters there. You know, Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, Lyle Collins. I mean, that's a huge, huge upgrade for Joe. Huge. And that offense should take another leap. Defensively, they retained all their core people in Cincy. Plus, they still have the draft, which they need to add some corner help in the secondary. But I'll tell you what, that team's going to be a contender for years to come now. Things have changed in Cincy. So I think Joe should probably be up there around 2 or 3. I'm not feeling necessarily the whole Deshaun Watson thing yet, and Cleveland for that matter. I don't care how many players that they sign that are good players. Look, Cleveland has this stigma around them. And really, it's really not just a stigma. It's a fact that this organization, quite honestly, doesn't necessarily know how to treat people the right way and how to do things necessarily in a way that really speaks to, you know, championship caliber
a championship caliber operation right now. And look, Deshaun's a fantastic player. There's no question about that. We don't know when he's going to be available, and we're not going to, you know, we don't need to sit here and debate the off-field issues with him because we all know what they are. But until he steps on the field, until we see how he winds up playing, we just don't know what he's going to be. You know, the other guys on that list, Derek Carr, Derek's another one of those guys who, in the West, you know, the only thing that I worry about with Vegas is their offensive line. Like, that is the weak point of this team right now, or rather, that's the biggest question mark on this team. And we all know this. We all know in order for you to really contend at the very, very highest levels, your offensive line better be straight to some degree. And I know you people would say, well, Cincinnati's wasn't. Well, yeah, you're right. Well, Derek also didn't have, you know, the same kind of chemistry and the same kind of, like, very, you know, spectacular one-off type of year that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase had last year. And so, look, but I'm a believer in Vegas. I'm a believer in Derek. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on with Josh McDaniels and how him and Davante Adams just grow into, you know, on the football field the same way that they seem to have grown even closer together off the field. When you hear Derek talk about Davante Adams, about him being his best friend in the world, I mean, I just love that kind of stuff, man. I love when guys are able to get together like that and see what they can do on a football field. But look, it's a good list. There's room for debate. There's always room for debate. But it's a good list, and I agree with the very top pick for sure.
Lewis, what did you think about locking Derek up for that 3 years, $121 million, and now bringing in Davante Adams and employing, or better yet, installing Josh McDaniels' system that we saw for so many years in New England, where Hunter Renfrow all of a sudden is going to become Wes Welker, Julian Edelman?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it, Key. I like it. Look, I think when you trade for Davante, I think you're obviously, and you know going into it, that him and Derek are as close as they are. There's no way that you can trade for Davante and have Derek kind of swinging in the wind. You can't do that. Otherwise, why trade for him? You know what the personal connection is, you know, as far as those two are concerned. And you know just how that can manifest itself in a positive way on the football field into a very highly productive duo between Derek and Davante. So I can see why they, you know, just in from that fact alone, I can see why they locked Derek up to an extension. And on top of it, like, I mean, really, what's your next best alternative anyway if you thought that Derek wasn't a championship caliber quarterback? Where else are you going to go? And I'm not even, look, me myself, I'm not going down that road because I'm a believer in him, and I believe that Derek is a top 10, top 12 quarterback in the NFL. And I think you can win with those caliber of players. I know that the conversation right now surrounding the NFL is this: you can't win unless you have Tom. You can't win unless you have Matthew Stafford. You can't win unless you have Aaron Rodgers. I just don't believe that. I still believe in the team concept of the game and making sure, you know, there are certain things that you have to take care of, like winning the turnover differential, not being a heavily penalized team, being great in the red area in two-minute situations. We know, Key, we know that that's what wins ultimately in the very end. The teams that make it to Super Bowls, those are the things that they master. If Vegas doesn't master those things, it won't matter. But we know this: the two teams that are playing in the Super Bowl next year, they will have mastered those two things or those couple of things. So, look, I like the signing. I like the extension.
Yeah, okay, so when we talk about, you mentioned the offensive line, right? So a new system comes in to play now. Does that, with Josh's new system, will that help the offensive line, or is it scheme, or is it physical ability?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think when you have an offensive line that maybe isn't 1 through 5, talented when they're moving backward as they are when they're moving forward, meaning they're not as talented in pass pro as they would be in the run game. Yeah, I think Josh will help them simply because you saw how they were in New England. You saw how he tailored that offense last year behind a young quarterback. And I'm not saying that they have the same limitations with Derek as they may have with a guy like Mac Jones in his rookie year. But what he will do is he'll say, look, if we don't think 1 through 5 we're the type of team that can drop back 35, 40 times a game, regardless of whether or not Derek and Davante are hitting on all cylinders, we're going to come off the football and we're going to run the ball and we're going to do what our offensive line does best, which is, I think that's what they will do. They will get these guys up on their toes, coming off the rock, moving the football, you know, 3-4 yards a clip running the football, and then emphasizing heavy play action pass, move the pocket, all the things that Derek will do well. So I think his scheme actually will help their offensive line, and he will try to minimize their weaknesses, exemplify their strengths, when their strengths will be physicality. Again, just getting their hand in the ground and moving people off the rock. Because They aren't a team that's as versatile in the offensive line as some of the better teams in the NFL. And I don't know if Derek can really make up for some of their limitations from a pass protection standpoint. So, yeah, I think Josh, as long as he gets on the same page with Derek, and you know, and they don't lose too many people and don't have any kind of injury issues or anything like that, that obviously is an obvious monkey wrench that you can throw into any team season. I think he will get them going in the right direction offensively for sure.
Lewis, speaking of offense and quarterbacks, I want you to take a listen to Baker Mayfield and what he had to say on You Never Know podcast. Check this out.
Yep. I feel disrespected 100% because I was told one thing and they completely did another. When I wasn't performing on the field, that's when it really started going downhill. Then when it started hindering my play, and that's when I started losing my own self-confidence and just losing myself. This past year was rough. I would love to show up to somebody's cubicle and just boo the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And see, and watch them crumble.
Do you have any idea where you're going to land?
Oh, man. This would have been about a week and a half ago. I would have said Indianapolis. Seattle, I mean, it'd probably be the most likely option. Mm-hmm. But even then, I'm ready for the next chapter.
Lewis, what was your reaction to hearing Baker Mayfield?
Look, I haven't talked to him a few times, Jay. Look, I get what he's saying. And I will say this. I knew how much he played last year, despite the fact that he was hurt and he probably shouldn't be playing, and that there was just no way for him to overcome some of the limitations that he was faced with last year, with that harness he was wearing on his non-throwing shoulder, how it limited his rotation and his ability to be accurate with the football, and then subsequently how that could get in someone's head when you're airmailing, you know, passes all over the place, you're not putting the ball where it needs to be put, teams are saying you're the reason why all these other weapons are underperforming, and how it then can just snowball. I get that. As far as what he's saying, as far as, you know, did the team lie to him? Does he feel like he was disrespected? Well, I don't know what they told him. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that they probably told him, hey, look, you know what, don't worry about the fact that, you know, you may not be playing at a very high level. We know how hurt you are. We do respect the fact that you're continuing to go out there and fight and try to give us a chance to win because you give us our best chance to win. Because that's what all teams tell players. The crappy part about it is then if you then turn around and then once, you know, the offseason comes and you feel as though there's a bright, shiny new toy that you may be able to get, and it would be something that would kind of, you know, generate a lot of interest and a lot of, you know, fan fervor around your football team again that you then go after it. You know, that the crappy part is then everything could be flipped on its head. And then the things that you did for the football team, the sacrifices you did make for the football team could be used against you. And it sounds like that's what he's saying. That they're now saying, well, you know what, you weren't very good last year. And we all could see that. He wasn't. The only thing I would tell Baker Mayfield is this. Talk less, do more. That's the only thing I would tell him. Because you know what? The one thing he needs to escape, and the one thing he needs to get off of his back, is this reputation and this label of him being someone who talks too much, who is constantly opening his mouth when he should be really just concentrating on his craft, getting to a new football team, and just kind of fitting in and letting his play do the talking instead of always talking in the media. But look, he's a highly combustible player. He's very emotional. And he does need to kind of quote-unquote grow up in that regard. But I don't see anything wrong with what he said as far as, you know, feeling as though he was disrespected and or not told the truth, because I can totally believe that that was the case.
Lewis Riddick, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Lou, as always.
All right, Lou.
Hey.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Guys, is Kevin Durant, is he actually the best player in these playoffs, or is that just reputation? Is it rep or reality? We play that next, coming up.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
watched Kyrie since St. Patrick's High School in New Jersey. The game hasn't seen what his package is. Part-time, a quarter of the time, it's the time when he's on the court that is special to watch, because last night was different.
Now it's time to just really focus in on what the goal is, and that's to be in that winner's circle in the next 2 months or so and keep playing until June.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. It's time to play Rep versus Reality. Evan, do the honors.
Yeah, and Reputation versus Reality is brought to you by Napa. At Napa, when it comes to serving you, our motor never quits. From next-day delivery to getting involved with local communities, that's the Napa know-how. All right, let's get started. Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA playoffs. Jay, is that reputation or is that reality?
I made a slight shift here, guys. I'm saying that. I think that's reputation. I'm going with Giannis as the most dominant player in the NBA playoffs. I think dominance is the best. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Giannis right now.
You want? I mean, I'll say this. It's a hunch, right? It's a hunch,
man.
But I think KD is still the best player in the world. I think if I had to choose anyone, I'd take KD.
Okay.
I laugh because this is a tough one, and it's in the playoffs right now, and Kyrie has played great, and Giannis has played great, and I'm just going to go with reality because I think KD, I'm just going to go with reality.
All right, Keen, Doc Rivers is to blame for the Sixers' issues, rep or reality?
I think it's reality. I think when you got the head coach, there that is, you know, everywhere he goes, these sort of things seem to follow him. And now look in Philadelphia. Even though James Harden hasn't played well, you the coach. Let's get him going.
I'm going to go with reputation. Now, look, I get it that he is a part of the issue, but James Harden is the main reason why this is not working. His ability to buy in and be in shape. And also he's trying to fight through injury, but that's James Harden.
That's fine. It's reality. Last year it was Ben Simmons. This year it's James Harden. But what is common is Doc Rivers and more than even Ben Simmons. It was the all-bench unit that did them in. That's on the coach. Reality.
All right, Max, the Lakers job is a good job. Rep or reality?
Reality. It's the Lakers. And it could be – it's right now. I understand why people say it's a bad job. But if you're the right guy for the job – it will be a very good one. I have to say that is a reality. It is a good job.
It's certainly a reality. There's only 30 jobs in the damn NBA, and this is one of the, if not the premier job. LeBron James is on the team. No matter what anybody thinks about the makeup of the roster is not going to be the same. They're getting rid of a number of those players, but LeBron James will still be there. And as long as he's on the court and on your team, it is a damn good job.
You're the
job.
Head coach of the Lakers, and you got LeBron. Of course it's a good job.
It's rep right now. I think the Lakers could be a good job down the line, but right now, I mean, it is complete chaos in their front office, coaching, who wants to be there, and who's actually in control.
No. All right, Baker Mayfield can win a Super Bowl. Rep or reality?
Key.
Woo, that's reality. He can win a Super Bowl with the right situation.
Yeah, I would say it's reality. Boy, that situation got to be all the way right.
If Jimmy G can't win a Super Bowl, I'm going to say this is rep. Baker Mayfield can't win a Super Bowl.
All right, last one, guys. Baseball was better when pitchers went deep into perfect games and no hitters. Is that rep or reality, Max?
Reality. Come on, man. 80 pitches, perfect game. You got to let them at least go batter.
Yes.
At least go batter by
batter. It's reality. Go get it. I get winning championships. I hear all that stuff. Dave Roberts saying the right thing, 5 or 75. But when you have a chance to have a perfect game, only 23 in the history of the sport, you go for it.
It's reality. There's no question about it, but times do change, and we always talk about changing with the times. So at some point, Max Kellerman, you got to change with the times.
I mean, I got you. Here's the thing. Let's take some calls on this. By the way, here's the thing. If he's losing his stuff, he'll lose the perfect game anyway. I'm not, you know, let him go batter by batter, please. Adam in Kentucky, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hey, guys. What's up? So I kind of, with Jay Will and this one with Kershaw, and I kind of got a little comparison that imagine it's opening week of NBA season, and say Dame Lillard, we'll compare him kind of to Kershaw. He's on a minute restriction. he gets in the third quarter, he's got 75. There's only been 30 people since mid-40s to have over 80 points in a game. What are you doing? Are you pulling him? Are you letting him go? Are you trusting your dude?
I don't know if it's 75, but if he had 69 points, like he 71 points and he has to get, I'm letting him get to 80, man. I'm letting him get to 80.
I'm just saying, especially when, look, when a sport is trying to do more to attract attention about their sport, like those are opportunities. And I'm not saying that the Dodgers have to take up for the entire sport of baseball, but as a young, like as a Gen Zer, as a millennial, I want to see these type of things. It makes me more attracted to the sport overall.
Kevin. See, if Dame Lillard had issues and a hammy issue and he was doing that, Max, and let's say he came off a hammy and there was some hammy issues, I'm taking his ass out.
I'm going pitch with Kershaw.
Tell me how you feel, Kershaw.
Here's
how
pitch 81. Feel? Well, here's pitch 81. Here's pitch 82. All right, wait a minute. This guy's fouling stuff off. He's up to pitch 91 and he just gave up a walk. He's out of the game. But, like, you know, maybe he might get out of the next inning on 13 pitches.
And if his stuff isn't hitting the way that it was supposed to, why even bother with it?
But he was still having a perfect game, even if it wasn't hitting the way it was supposed to.
He was only going to go five. We gave you two extra. How much more do you want?
You want to get to Kevin real quick? He wants to go ahead, Evan. You got something to say?
Yeah, would it have been different, Key, if he had been at 15 strikeouts instead of 13 and had a shot at the all-time strikeout record for a single game? Because that's a one of one.
He wouldn't have had that shot, Evan. He'd have to strike out everybody to get to 21.
Well, no. If he was at 15 instead of 13 through 7, he then could have gone three in the eighth, three in the ninth, then he gets the all-time record. I'm asking, would it have changed your mind, Key, if he was at 15 strikeouts instead of 13 and had a shot at the all-time record?
What's his pitch count?
Same, 80.
No, I probably would have pulled him.
Okay. Yeah, 15 doesn't do it for you. If you tell me he's at 17, 18 strikeouts.
But he would have been at 18 with six more outs. Like, he could have gotten.
Yeah, I'm saying, you want him to strike out the side twice.
Yeah, I do. But y'all missed it. 15 y'all missed times it. In the game, he could do it six point. More.
He started the day thinking five. We gave him two extra. I don't need to run the risk.
No fun, please. Key. No fun, please.
I mean, I hear you, but I think you split the difference and let him go batter by batter at least. Why one quarterback who is in a make-or-break season may have some issues making it. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.